Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:33 on Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. This is a work session on case number PU-18-430, NSP Advanced Prudence for Dakota Range 3. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Fedorchak.
I do not either.
Commissioner Christman?
Nor do I, thank you.
If we could have staff and council identify themselves for the record, please.
Good afternoon. Zach Pelham, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the commission.
Jerry Lynn with staff.
All right. Well, I'm going to basically going to go to the testimony from James Heidel. And on page 5, at the bottom, I'll give everyone a chance to get there. Okay, under the summary of recommendations, his answer on whether or not approval should be granted for the company's application on the EDP. The one portion on the answer, on the second line, toward the end of the second line, NSP's North Dakota customers are unlikely to receive any significant benefits or harm from the net impact of entering into the Dakota Range 3 PPA and adding Google's Becker data center. And the reason I'm reading a little slower than normal is because I have to go to the optometrist. It's going to be a little tougher. Oh. So, and that's referenced several times. So here's question slash thought I have on this. If there isn't a significant benefit or yeah, basically, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, the way I read it. And all of this energy would be going to the data center. That's what the agreement is, the PPA. I'm trying to come up with a reason in terms of why, for myself personally, why this would be approved. At this point in time, when we will have the opportunity once again to review it during the next rate case. And just the fact that this power is going to a dedicated customer, none of it produced will actually show up on NSP's system for North Dakota customers. Is that correct the way you read it, Jerry and Zach?
When the project goes into service, it'll affect the fuel cost adjustment and the RECs that are generated by the project would be allocated through the fuel cost adjustment. Any money that they could get from selling them and so forth would come through there. So,
but would they make their way to North Dakota customers? Because the way I read it, they would not.
Wasn't that one of his?
It's a PPA.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so it would go through the fuel cost adjustment. And I think its cost is a little lower than what you're paying now in the fuel cost adjustment. So there should be savings from this project.
So let me rephrase it a little bit. What would be the advantage to approving it at this point when we don't know that it's going to have a significant benefit nor have any negative impact as well to North Dakota customers, when there will be opportunity to review it either through the rider or future rate case?
I think we're back to the question of an advanced determination of prudence. Why do you want to give them a determination in advance that it's prudent. And I think that in the past we've said we don't really want to give you an advanced determination for some of these projects. We didn't say they weren't prudent, but we're saying that we don't want to go ahead and tell you that they're prudent now before we have to. I think there is a requirement that they get the ADP in order to put it in the fuel cost adjustment. And so in this case, if you don't give them an ADP, my thoughts are then it doesn't get in the fuel cost adjustment and you don't get the savings from the energy on the project.
And what are the anticipated savings again that customers would experience on the fuel cost adjustment?
There was a number in there that I'm not real sure what's behind it, but it said $22 million.
Right.
I assume that's over several years, you know, lifetime of the contract. Staff did an analysis, and they had more than that. It was like 30 to 40, 34 to 48. Or
31
like
to 48.
That. Yeah.
With the staff analysis on customer savings.
Have we looked at anything like this before where it's a power purchase agreement for a dedicated customer?
Not the way they've put this forth, but I don't know that it's necessarily dedicated to the customer. They have it in here as it being necessary to get that customer. But I think they want to pursue it whether that customer has gotten or not.
And there's testimony as well indicating that whether or not Google locates as anticipated or as possible at this location, that there would still be overall cost savings is what the testimony is.
Right, that it would be a system resource.
It's a system resource either way.
Right.
Yep. And
just that they in order to attract Google, they had to show them that they can basically account for all of their power needs with green energy, and by doing they would be doing so by giving them the RECs. Is that a fair
statement? I think that is pretty fair.
And I think what Jerry was explaining earlier, I think is assessed on page 11 of Bree Shea's testimony, where she talks about that without the ADP, they'd not be able to include the resource in the fuel cost rider calculations. And that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
And thus the low-cost energy would not average down to the North Dakota customers. So
yes.
Without the ADP, they'd probably go ahead with this anyway. But what I think there's pros and cons with this, but the pros would not probably come down to North Dakota consumers.
But is that here's one of the biggest questions I had. Is that entirely true because ADPs in the past that have been denied for projects outside of North Dakota, and not all of the wind projects that NSP has put on the ground have been denied. Odell Wind Farm and I think Pleasant Valley, and I believe both were located in Minnesota,
yeah,
did receive commission approval in 2016, an advanced determination of prudence.
Okay. And similarly, I think we gave the ADPs and the other two projects, Dakota Range projects.
Right, one and two.
Yeah.
But this wasn't as lucrative as Dakota Range 1 or Dakota Range 2 in terms of projected savings, correct?
I don't think it was. I think they had like $80 million numbers or something. I can't remember, though.
But even the projects outside of Odell and Pleasant Valley, because I've asked staff this question, during the rate-making process, okay, so those projects did not get the ADP. Some didn't. Odell, Pleasant Valley did, for example, and then some other renewable biomass received an ADP out of state. And the reality is, outside of the wind generation that NSP has on the ground here in North Dakota, all the other energy is coming from outside of our borders, the majority. So I'm just trying to determine how this is different in terms of they made it into, they being the other projects beyond Odell, beyond Pleasant Valley, beyond the biomass, but other wind projects that weren't giving ADPs ultimately did make it into North Dakota ratepayers, or make it to North Dakota ratepayers through rate cases. And in other words, the question I asked, just to cut to the chase, is there a wind turbine, regardless of where it's located, that NSP has in its system leading up to the, or that has not made it into the rate-making process for North Dakota customers? And the answer was no. Every single wind turbine has ultimately and eventually made its way into the rate-making process here. Is that correct?
I'd have to.
In fact, I think I asked you that question.
Okay. I think I'd need to go back and look and do some research and see how each one of those is being recovered. But we had PPAs and we had some actual ownerships. I'd have to go back and see.
So if that's the case,
I can find out and look it up.
If that is correct and that's the case, then if this project was not granted an ADP, or the ADP was not approved for this project, Dakota Range 3, what would prohibit it from going down the same path in the future that the others have?
The thing about having the ADP before putting it into a fuel cost adjustment, I'd have to go back and look at that too. I think that came in here as some kind of an agreement thing some way around it.
We insisted on that in one of the past rate cases because there was projects that didn't get the ADP that got put into the fuel cost adjustment, and we didn't want them there. They weren't economic. And we were frustrated that they were getting, being charged to North Dakota customers. So then the commission, this is early on in our days, Randy and I, required that they come for an ADP on anything. I think it's 50 megawatts or higher.
Yeah.
He's nodding. So that we have the chance to consider it and say yay or nay for North Dakota ratepayers. If it doesn't go in, if we don't give them ADP, it doesn't go into the fuel cost. It could be added down the road when there's a rate case and reconsidered and discussed. But until that time, the company cannot, because we've prohibited them from collecting them through or putting them into the ADP fuel cost adjustment until we've approved it in an ADP. That's how that all works. So they could make their way into the rates and the savings for customers, but they have to be, that would happen through a rate case. So until that point, they wouldn't be generating savings for customers.
Yeah. What was it that was denied that they are not recovering from North Dakota ratepayers?
See, that's what I have to go back and look up.
Solar.
Like that, right?
I don't know if there were a couple of wind projects over in Minnesota.
Or is that ours?
Or not.
Is that the one in North Dakota? Aurora Solar.
Yeah, solar. it was basically what Julie is talking about here is those solar projects.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to expensive energy from those going into the fuel cost adjustment. But I can't recall if we had some, there were several wind farms.
There were some others in that agreement that might have been X'd out after the fact.
Yeah.
Like they started to be collected, and then I think in that settlement agreement there were some that were saying, no, we're not going to collect these from North Dakota ratepayers anymore.
Yeah, and there were some community wind projects and so forth,
yeah,
too, in there. That so there
they're
might
early,
be some
more
stuff
expensive
that's
resources.
Not in the fuel cost adjustment.
But as I recall those, I kind of looked at them more as kind of playground activities where some social engineers are saying, we want a little of this and a little of that here in the state.
Yep.
And we said, no. Were this, it's much larger. I don't know if it falls into the same kind of playground activities, but this involves what it takes for the neighboring state, whose large utility company we share, to attract a very large business with a lot of high-paying jobs. And so, I don't know, I guess the impetus for what they're doing here just seems somewhat different to me than in some of the other cases where ADP might have been denied. I will say, while I'm on the point, though, I don't know where this is going. I find it to be almost a discrimination issue in that, and I even clarified this with one of the company witnesses, that I asked the question, could you run a reliable energy company if every customer got to choose their energy source, only true it up annually, not minute by minute, and not take interruptible service? And the answer was no. And so we know it doesn't work for everybody, but for a special customer, they're going to do it. What happens when the not-so-special customer has a similar request? I guess it gets denied. So that part concerns me, but maybe that's 21st-century economic development, and I don't know really what to do about that either, but it does concern me the track that they're kind of on here.
Kind of on the same line, and trying to think through, assuming that this might be a business model for Xcel, because they have the most aggressive carbon-free goal in the country, 100% carbon-free by 2050. I don't know of any other company in the nation that's pledged to do that. So it strikes me that it's a business plan for them to go out there and market that goal to big companies for which that goal is appealing. And there's a lot of them. So if that is, I mean, I know we're guessing, but I'm trying to play this out because this is the first time we've seen this. If that is the goal and what we do here kind of sets the stage for the future, what do we need to be careful about? I mean, are there things that we should be thinking about that aren't benign about this that we need to be prepared for seeing again if it's next time it's not Google, but it's Amazon or it's Walmart? Some other big company.
You know, the whole purpose behind the RECs has been to let people have a way to get renewable power credit for their whole load all the time. And so they had these certificates. And if you buy these certificates, one, it makes a market for renewable energy. It's an incentive for it. But then you can say that you are being served by renewable energy. What you're actually served by is whatever comes off the wires.
Right.
But they can go out and buy these renewable energy credits wherever they can find them and buy them. And in this case, NSP is selling them. And if they want, now that's an unregulated, generally, I think anyway, operation with the credits. Maybe I'm stepping out on a limb saying that, because we're kind of regulating the revenues that are coming from them. But if somebody else wanted to sell credits, however they could get them, they could sell them, and there wouldn't be any questions. We wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Sure.
I think that Otter Tail has been looking at selling some credits, too, and I'm pretty sure MDU is probably doing the same thing, but in this case, MDU put a package deal together.
Excel, you mean?
I'm sorry, yeah. Excel put a package deal together here as part of an economic development incentive. And so I think the issue is the same as the economic development incentives in other cases, and that is, are you getting your costs covered with the rates that you're charging to these folks? And so I don't really see a difference because they threw the renewable energy credits in, unless there's a cost to the renewable energy credits, and they'd have to be covered too.
No, I'm not 100% sure I followed you on that, Jerry, but to whittle it down to where I can find it easier.
Okay, could I rephrase?
I'm going to say I was 100% sure I did not follow everything.
If we approve this, are you supportive of the conditions that advocacy staff recommended, whereby North Dakotans, like other renewable projects, would continue to realize the value of North Dakota's share of those RECs, and then Google can buy them off the market, and that's where the money will come to make sure that our consumers do get that. So are you favorable toward those conditions?
Yes, to me that
conditions
seems to make sense and be logical. The credits, it kind of goes to what I was just saying about the costs. Our credits that we get to us had some revenue coming, and if they're giving them to that company, that's a cost. We want them to sell our credits and give us the money.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they would be doing if they give them to Google, but we want to get compensated for those credits too.
I felt too those conditions seemed...
So I would support the staff's recommendation on that.
So, I mean, on first blush, I agree with that in principle a lot. If you look at number 16 on the draft order from advocacy staff, it talks about NSP further testified that conditioning the ADP on a requirement that North Dakota customers receive compensation for their share of the RECs would likely result in a similar condition being placed on the company by other state commissions, thereby reducing the attractiveness of NSP's economic development efforts in North Dakota. So say they're looking at Fargo or Grand Forks as a future Amazon site, maybe down the road, or some other site, because they are actively seeking these customers, and it's a way for them to grow their demand. It's one thing for them to pay us the $15,000 because our percentage share is so small. But if that same condition were applied to a North Dakota-based project, then Minnesota would be asking for its share of those RECs, which could be a deal breaker. So are we comfortable? Is that a smart situation to be in? I mean, I ask that sincerely. Maybe we don't care about that. But that's, I think, worth thinking about.
I think we've done that in multiple... I mean, that's just been our policy. And I suppose, like any kind of a business policy, there'll be deals where it's beneficial to one side, and there'll be future deals where it's beneficial to the other side. But on principle, I think it's the right thing to do, just like we allocate costs based on each market's share and things like that. And I just think it principally is that we've been on the right track with that. And
the credits now
direction
are and have been allocated with the energy.
Right.
And I don't see that we're changing that, so why should we move away from it?
Exactly, except that in this deal, mm-hmm. and in this new world of negotiating these kinds of deals, this they have a value that is calling for a different way to think about them. And I think you could make the case, I'm playing devil's advocate here, that the customers are benefiting from the load of Google in that we have a smaller share of the system as a whole. So that is a benefit, too, probably a larger benefit than the $15,000 RECs that they're getting, that we would be receiving compensation for.
Yeah. It's kind of a policy question.
It is a policy question,
for you to,
very much.
And but another thought on those lines, too, though, is that if we do get a business and they want to give this kind of a deal here, will Minnesota give us what's, or will they want their money for their share?
I would expect that they would want their money for their share. Why wouldn't they? That's the conditions we applied to them. So.
Yeah. So.
But there's no guarantee that if we do it here that they would follow suit either.
True.
Yeah. Right.
But we would have stronger ground.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Was there a dollar figure attached to the reduction in the North Dakota's, what is that percentage called? It's not capacity factor, but our share of the system cost. What's that called again? The 5 to 6% that is our responsibility for NSP's costs. Dave, what's that term?
Jurisdictional.
Yeah, that is on a capacity demand. And
but did they value did they put a price tag on how much that was going to save North Dakotans once Google arrives?
All we really have is that number, the $22 million, and spread out as kind of a big blanket number. But I think there was some trade secrets.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think I've seen what you're asking for and trying to recall where, but I think it was trade secret.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. If I remember it correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, it was much more significant than the $15,000 RECs.
I think the money on the RECs here is peanuts, but.
Right.
Yeah.
RECs have been going up, too. I mean, as time goes on, they might be more valuable, too.
I mean, it's just it's a principled matter, and I think we have been on the right side of it. The one thing that makes me hesitate a bit is looking forward and seeing, is it smart to argue that when that same condition could be applied to us and to North Dakota in the future, and it would hurt us?
Yep, that's a good point.
The potential benefit is truly unknown until we see how things play out over the course of time. This is more of a strategy decision than it is. When you're talking about an advanced determination of prudence, I think it would be hard to say something is prudent when North Dakota customers are unlikely to receive any significant benefits or harm. So it's more about positioning for the future.
I think that we would get benefit from lower fuel costs. Mm-hmm. And there would be some allocation factors that would, if the load is realized, that could make North Dakota's share of the overall expenses less.
Now, this facility goes into place or into operation, I believe, in 2020. Is that correct?
Yes.
And NSP cannot, the next time they can actually come in for a rate case would be, what, after 2020, January 1st of 2021? Is that the current agreement in place?
I don't recall, but I think so.
So we're within months of, not that they would come in right away for a rate case, but as time goes on, the probability only increases.
Well, and this project wouldn't cause rate case increases.
I guess, understand that.
I guess maybe it could, but...
Yeah.
But if it went into operation in 2020, and hypothetically speaking, if the company came in the first quarter of 2021 with the rate case, we're within months of having the ability to reevaluate if it weren't granted at this time.
Yeah.
It would give more time to see how things play out. I'm asking the question.
It's true. At that point, too, you'd realize more what's happening, I think, with Google.
Seem like you're on the cusp of.
Well, some of these things fall really close to the edge, and you know, none of our regulated utilities are wholly North Dakota companies, and unless maybe if they had to spot the whole state, I'm not sure one would really be viable with just a small segment of this one state. And so in order to have a large, viable utility that can respond to emergencies and that sort of thing, I think there probably is a need in a state our size to play across state lines. And it seems like not approving this is different than not approving ones where, again, where elected leaders in another state are social engineering and requiring things and we choose not to participate. This is this company pursuing business activity which grows at scale, which should in fact have some economies of scale. And while one bit of testimony said that it's unlikely we'll get benefits, there's other testimony that said we will get benefits. And so, I don't know, this is more the business end of it that's driving this as opposed to other states' regulatory processes that are pursuing it,
yep,
or pushing it. And so, with those conditions on, I'm not sure why we would deny this at this point.
I don't know if I entirely agree that with NSP in particular, that they've been pushed by social engineering from Minnesota, for example, because they've always been ahead of the curve. And as Commissioner Fedorchuk stated early on, and it's on the website, carbon-free by 2050,
mm-hmm.
I think they've been ahead of what the Minnesota legislature has in place in terms of requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Minnesota didn't have any renewable energy objectives in place right now, I think the company would still, my belief, be exactly where they're at now in terms of what their carbon-free goals are. And I don't know if they volunteered to go to 30% as opposed to the other Minnesota utilities, which were required to be at 25%, they were 5 points higher. And
yeah,
my impression is that the company itself agreed and or led that charge to be higher in terms of the requirement.
There was an agreement or something where they are doing it because of Minnesota came up with some reasons for it, mm-hmm. including that they're the biggest and best utility and stuff like that or something.
But not to go down.
Well, I think what I heard Randy saying is that is, I don't think anyone would argue that against what you said, Brian, but what's driving this is not that. This is a business decision for them to increase their load and use, I mean, to the extent that they're using their goals to be appealing to these customers, that's, weave into that strategy. But it looks in this case that they might have been significantly successful in attracting a very big new customer that benefits North Dakotans.
I also think we need to think about what if the load center were in South Fargo, but they had a certain demand, either maybe it's for some transmission line to get the power there, or maybe it's for a particular generation source. I'm assuming that we would think that it's an area that is served by this utility company, and so the costs would be spread out to their. It's a business thing. It's not something we're causing because we just like it. It's a business thing, and we would expect the ratepayers in other states to help with that in the same way that, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry, but I think ratepayers in other states helped with the costs of upgrading the new transmission line and substation that went from over there south of Elva up to Minot, right?
If my memory is correct, those transmission investments are paid for throughout the service area. So they're just transmission. And this distribution upgrades would just stay in the state that they're done. So those were transmission upgrades.
To that end, Randy, and I was 100% on board with advocacy staff's position on the RECs early on, but as I think about it more in a larger context in today's business environment, I'm not so sure that you couldn't view the RECs as a transmission line or some of these other types of upgrades that are needed to make a new customer viable. So that gets spread across to everybody to participate in. It hasn't been traditionally viewed that way, but that was the deal for getting them, is that they wouldn't be able to attract them without those RECs, without the company being able to have the RECs.
Yeah,
but the company can
charge them to Minnesota customers or somebody else.
Or even buy them from.
Right.
Buy that share of buy North Dakota's share.
Right. Yeah. In our case, it's $15,000.
Mm-hmm. I think of it as they're selling our credits to Google.
Right.
So we should get the money for them. But you have it's a policy thing, and it's a perfectly valid question. And if you want to go that way, there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, I don't have any more questions.
I think I'm out too.
I think I am. I will probably, I'll circle back. And
would you like for me to draft an order and do you want to think about it a little bit more?
I mean, I'd be interested in seeing an order to grant the ADP. I'm just not sure if I agree with the conditions yet or not.
Okay.
So.
So I'll draft up something and we can have the conditions in or out, depending on what you.
Nope, that makes.
That's what they provided already.
Yeah.
Those two options exist.
Yeah.
we'll take a
pretty tough task, Jerry.
I'm glad to see that our 40 minutes have led to this. I would like to see an order drawn up as well.
Okay, I'll then take what we got here
yes.
and then
work from there.
And give it whatever it needs, and then we'll figure out on the conditions.
Okay.
No other questions?
Nope.
No, sir.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there other ones?